Hi there. My name is Norman James. I have a podcast. It is about the Toronto Maple Leafs of the National Hockey League. On my podcast, I have a co-host. His name is Michael Augello. Michael and I talk about the Maple Leafs, the things we like and the things we don't like. Are you curious to hear more? What do you say? Let's pod. The Leafs Convo starts right now. And we've linked up with my good friend, Michael Augello. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, Norman. How are you?
I'm still buzzing from that Nas-Nylander combination, Mike. Kadri, three grapes, one apple. And of course, William Nylander with three beautiful apples, 7 points from that third line, not including Connor Brown's contributions. But who's talking about him?
Well, yeah, it was definitely a very good thing to get Kadri scoring again. We know that he scored most of his goals during the absence of Austin Matthews from the lineup and has struggled since. And obviously Nylander, who had, I think, came into the game with 4 points, almost doubled his season total in one game. And the worst thing is that they go into the All-Star break right after that. So if there was any momentum to be built from it, it's sort of squashed by that. But it is encouraging, and Austin Matthews scoring as well on the power play is encouraging. Now they just have to keep that going.
Don't forget Mitch Marner's empty netter, Michael. Maybe Kadri and Nylander can get more of a synergy, get to know each other more, get to learn about each other's on-ice habits a little more frequently when they do get back to practice. And imagine having one, two, three absolutely dominant, incredible lines. We know the Leafs have the personnel to theoretically make that happen. So why not put it into practice, especially after the All-Star break, when this team really needs to start humming along, become really strong, become great again, and add some talent before the trade deadline?
I would bet that they fall back, at least Mike Babcock does, on combinations that have worked in the past, meaning I don't think that Marlowe, Matthews, and Marner are going to stay together. They played okay, but not to the point where that's going to be a long-term combo. And I think Austin Matthews, in his comments after the game, pretty much said that he expects expects Marner to be reunited with Tavares, and I would think that also means William Nylander being reunited with Matthews after the break.
I'm not a big fan, Mike, of inking line combinations. I'd rather pencil them in. This team has so much good talent. It's so interchangeable, and as we've seen over the last little while, when guys begin to sputter, you make changes to help reignite players who've lost their spark. So once they've reignited and you've found a new concoction that has reinvigorated the team and it's showing on the score sheet and, of course, in the standings, why go back to old hat, Mike? I don't understand why the temptation is there to go back to what you had before when you had to vacate those lines, those ideas, because they stopped working.
Well, clearly Marner was assigned to Matthews or vice versa because Matthews was not scoring. Now, the thing is that Matthews scored on the power play. Marner was on that power play, but the line 5-on-5 really was okay, but didn't really connect. And I think that they know that the most consistent pairing on this team has been Tavares and Marner. And that's, I think they're going to go back to that. I don't think that Babcock wants to put Marner and Matthews on one line, sort of putting all your eggs in one basket. And, they are players who want to dominate the puck, and you can't have two players on the same line dominating the puck. Nylander's more of a playmaker, and that's why I think eventually, now that he is up to speed, that maybe they put him back with Matthews. But I think that Babcock is a creature of habit. He is going to fall back on the things that he is comfortable with, that he believes in, and things that have worked in the past. And they did work in the past, and so did Tavares and Marner.
So Kadri and Nylander, both playing below average games, come together. They combined for 7 points. It was a good time, not a long time, Michael.
Yeah, I think it is possible that maybe they stick together for a few more games, but I think eventually, you know, they're going to want to put a scoring forward with Matthews. You know, Kapanen has done well. Janssen is out of the lineup right now, and I'm not sure how long he'll be out with the concussion. But I think they want to put Nylander and his playmaking ability with Matthews once Matthews has gotten going, and they're hoping that he has gotten going after scoring that goal against the Capitals.
This is the Leafs Convo, Norman James with Mike Augello. Are you super psyched for All-Star Weekend?
Oh, God, please just let it be over with. I mean, to my mind, it's just a waste of time. I've never thought that the All-Star game was anything that was worthwhile. I understand that the NHL likes it as a promotional event, and they bring advertisers there, and that's all fine and good. I'm just glad that this time around they've recognized it partially and limited it to 2 days. And, you know, it's going to be skills competition on Friday, the game on Saturday, and then, you know, everybody can get out of Dodge and enjoy a couple days in the hot and the sun before they resume the second half. I honestly, I don't know if I'll watch it.
Just to let you know, Mike, I'm potentially under attack here. I'm recording with you through my iPhone 10. It's a great machine. I love it. Mm-hmm. There's an icon picture of you on my screen that pulsates every time you talk. My cat, Pumpkin, is sitting an inch away from it, and he's eyeing it down very, very intensely, and I don't know if he's going to pounce or not. I just thought I would let you know this whole show is contingent upon the ups and downs, the curiosity, and who knows, the crazy reactions of my orange tabby cat. God bless him.
Well, you know what I think? I'm allergic to cats, so if I start sneezing, it's...
Hold on, I'm going to get you there. We've had babysitter after babysitter apply, and they've all end up working well with our kids in our house, and they've all said they are allergic to cats. And I would typically respond with a long diatribe about how you're allergic to the dander, and the short-haired cats have the greater dander, blah, 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 blah. We have medium-haired cats. We've never had a problem. But anyone else wants to talk about cats, just let us know in the YouTube comment section. You know what I think they should do instead of play a brand new All-Star game? Just show clips from All-Star games of the past. Which one was it where Gordie Howe was in his 23rd All-Star game? He was representing the Whalers for the Campbell Conference or something. Was it back in Detroit, Mike?
It was at the Olympia. I think it was 82. I was like 15 years old at that point. I remember. That's one of my most vivid memories of the All-Star game. One of the only good ones, because it was, you know, Gretzky was that, and Howe was playing for, I think it was the Whales, actually.
Yeah, okay.
For Hartford, but yeah, that's the kind of great memory.
Yeah,
of the All-Star game, just these, you know, jumping around through hoops and 3-on-3. You know, when John Scott is the MVP of an All-Star game, you know, it's a freaking crap show.
Yeah, I'm not interested in the least. What I want to do is take a breath, reset, and get ready for February, because we know it's a big month with the trade deadline. The Leafs have to kickstart their own play, not just hang on to second place, but take second place, put the competitors in the rearview mirror, and I don't know, maybe give Tampa a run for their money. And then from the podcast perspective, we're about to join forces with Vanguard Northeast Realty Corp in Toronto. They are our new title sponsor beginning in February. I am super psyched about that, Mike. We have a couple of questions from some of the OGs and converts. Sure. Through Twitter, and of course the Leafs Combo YouTube channel, which is hopping. Thank you so much for the subscribership, folks. The subscribers that we typically get are usually a daily basis. That's double, triple over the last little while. Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, the information, the speculation, the expectation regarding their future contracts with the Maple Leafs are going to reach a peak. Do you believe that Dubas and the staff have learned from the William Nylander situation and obviously want to avoid that? Do you think that perhaps... you know, any talk about or any hype about Marner and Matthews and their contract situation might end up being anticlimactic, and that's probably going to be for a good thing if it does turn out that way?
I think both sides in terms of the negotiation will heed what happened to William Nylander, and that means obviously Kyle Dubas and the Leafs, and it also means Judd Moldaver, who's the agent for Austin Matthews, and Darren Ferris, who's the agent for Mitch Marner. Ferris has made it painfully clear that he doesn't want to negotiate during the season. They're going to wait until after the season. And I also think they're waiting for Matthews's contract to get done so they can sort of use it as a benchmark. Now, I think Matthews, I mean, based on the statements that Dubas made earlier in the week, that something will get done in season. I don't know if it's going to be before the deadline, but I think that they're making progress. But Elliot Friedman reported, and I wrote about this earlier in the year. I think that a shorter term deal is probably the way that is going to go for both of these players. And it's not without precedent. You look at Drew Doughty, you look at Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, you look at Tavares and Stamkos. They all signed 5-year deals coming out of ELC. And that means they get another crack at a big payday at age 27 or 28. And it only makes sense. And I think the Leafs would be on board for that for one reason. If they both sign a 6-year deals, that's the same year that John Tavares's contract expires. So then if Tavares either will take less or retire at age 34, then that $11 million that Tavares is being paid could be split amongst Matthews and Marner, who are younger players. I mean, they have to think that far ahead, but I think that that is a viable option. So you could see Marner and Matthews signed before the start of training camp, and I think it could be a lesser deal for a little less money.
Do you ever get food delivered, Mike?
Take out pizza, sure.
Yeah, but one of these food delivery services, just watching a commercial, the whole concept is you can have whatever you want. Just call the food delivery service. And it's a big business right now. So all these food delivery people show up to his door and they've got every kind of food under the sun. And I'm thinking, okay, what if you wanted McDonald's? You're going to get McDonald's delivered. It's going to end up at your door 30 minutes after he or she grabs it. Do you really want cold McDonald's in your house, or wouldn't you rather have it piping hot? Well, sometimes it's not piping hot, but wouldn't you rather eat it at the restaurant?
There are services like Uber Eats and Grubhub and all these things. And yeah, I'm of the same mind. It's like when I get pizza delivered, they have it in that big envelope, that big, like not, it's not styrofoam, but there's something that keeps the heat in
warmer.
It's pretty much the same as it is as it comes out of the oven. So I think I can get in the car and drive a few blocks if I want a burger from A&W.
Oh, A&W is so good. TLC OG's Leafs Conference. I have a thought. What's your favorite fast food? There's only a couple of fast food joints that I, at my age, still trust and still the food that they serve, I still crave. McDonald's, if you're out there, if you're listening, we'll take you as a sponsor. I love McDonald's. Everyone loves McDonald's. A&W, same thing. I'm limited in scope for the type of fast food that I want to eat at this point. I used to be able to eat it all when I was going to college in Texas. You know, you're playing baseball, you're playing with all these high-level athletes, you're out in the Texas heat, but you're burning off because your metabolism's so much more effervescent and vibrant than it is now. Just a couple of questions from Twitter before we go. Carson wrote, our big supporter of the podcast. Carson, thanks so much. C-O-D-O, quadruple G. Can you cool cats make a trade deadline prediction for the Leafs? Let's say we guarantee that we get a right-hand shot defenseman as well as a power forward who plays with grit-type style. Who are the two players you see them getting, Mike? So Owen Nolan would be one.
Alan McCauley, first round pick, and I have to say I can't agree with the premise because I don't think that they're going to get a power forward. I think they're going to get a defenseman. I think they could get two defensemen, but the power forwards that you're looking at in this market right now, a guy like Michael Ferland, a guy like Wayne Simmonds, who we've talked about before.
Aren't they knuckle draggers, Mike? Power forwards?
No, I think big,
strong, they skate well, and they hit. They're knuckle draggers, Mike.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're an abomination to the game, and they should but this is the problem. They're going to cost, and the cost of them. Ferland would probably draw a first round pick because of demand, because he's going to be a UFA. Same thing with Simmonds. It's going to be probably more than a first round pick. And I don't think the Leafs are going to trade that on top of trading more assets to get a top four defenseman. So
yeah, you want to use that first round pick if you are going to apply it to a trade on a difference making defenseman, right?
And if they can find a quote power forward cheap, and I was looking at this in a column recently, a guy like Patrick Maroon. If St. Louis is dumping Patrick Maroon, and he has played with skilled players before, he's an aggressive player. He's not going to cost you a ton. He's not being paid a lot. You know, if you can get him for a third or a fourth round pick, so much the better. But you're not going to get a difference maker like a Ferland or a Simmons for that cheap of a price. It's going to cost assets from the Marlies or draft picks, and I think that is being reserved for the defensemen that they desperately need.
Within the organization, could you categorize Mason Marchment as a power forward?
He plays like that at the AHL level. I don't know whether he'll be able to score as consistently at the NHL level, but I have to say Mason Marchment is somebody who last year in the playoffs, in the Calder Cup playoffs, really impressed me. And I talked to a couple people, one who's a scout, and said, you know, he's an NHL skater now as opposed to a couple years ago when he wasn't. So his skating has improved. His skill is good enough that I think he'd be an effective fourth line energy guy, but I don't know if he can be a top nine, but I think he's going to get a look, and I don't know if it's going to be at the end of this year like Andreas Janssen did last year, or if it's going to be at the beginning of next year when they're going to need some inexpensive bodies up on the NHL roster.
The Meathead, how long before Guards gets back does Babs break up Zeitz and Derms?
I think Gardner will be back right after the break. He skated with the team, but they opted for caution with the back spasms that he had and sat him out in the last game against the Caps. So I would expect him to be back. I think it's February 1st is their next game. No, I don't think they'll keep Dermott. I think as soon as Gardner gets back, he'll go back to playing with Zaitsev, and Dermott will go back to playing with Ozhiganov. But the better question is, what happens if they do get that defenseman that we keep talking about, and how the pairings will match up then? And I get the weird feeling that, you know, Babcock, no matter what they do, is not going to split up Riley and Hainsey, even though Hainsey is a better fit as a bottom pairing guy. I think he likes that combo. So I think if they get a right-hand shot defenseman, it'll be Zaitsev moving down to the bottom pairing with Dermott, and then that right shot defenseman teaming up with Gardner.
What about Gardner and Hainsey as your third pairing?
I don't think he's ever going to break up Riley and Hainsey. He loves the fact that Hainsey allows Riley to do what he's doing, and Riley's having such a good year that I don't think he's going to risk breaking that up.
I don't know if I mentioned this. I think I may have on a previous podcast, but I got a tweet, and the tweet was, if we could only put Ron Hainsey's brain into Jake Gardner's body,
yes,
we'd have the best defenseman going. It's true. Hainsey just can't do what he used to do, but I'm sure he thinks he can. And Jake Gardner, he's just got all kinds of incredible speed, and his skill is off the charts, but sometimes he draws a blank. And when he draws a blank at the worst possible time, at the precipice of his career, that's why he takes the heat that he does.
Yeah, and it's clear also from the last couple games before the break that the MVP of this team is not Morgan Riley. It's not John Tavares. It's not Mitch Marner. It's not Austin Matthews. It's Freddie Anderson.
Sure is.
Because when Freddie Anderson is playing at the level that he played when he made, 41 saves against the Caps, he covers up for that defense. And until they improve that defense, he is their first line of defense.
Absolutely, Mike. Anything you want to add?
I'm going to be writing on Hockey Buzz and doing a little analysis of the Leaf prospects and where they may go in terms of trading. You know, I know the number of people, like I posted, and I know that you reposted it, what Todd Crocker wrote about the Marlies announcer about Jeremy Bracco, who leads the team with 42 points. Jeremy Bracco is having a phenomenal year, and everybody's saying, oh, it's increasing his trade value. Great, we can move him. And yeah, you don't want to move scoring forwards, especially ones that are 21 or 22 years old, who are on their entry levels, especially when you're going to be paying, you know, three or four of your top forwards over $7 million. You're going to need inexpensive contracts like Trevor Moore and the equivalent of Tyler Ennis, if Tyler Ennis signs someplace else, and Jeremy Bracco. Mm-hmm. You need to balance out how much you pay your players. And Jeremy Bracco, I believe, is an NHL forward. Now, I don't know what that means. He'll play with Matthews, or he'll play with who or what. But I'm telling you right now, based on the progress that he's made after playing mostly a third or fourth line role last year with the Marlies, mm-hmm. and then getting more of an opportunity when Janssen got called up, Jeremy Bracco is amongst that group of Grundstrom, sure. and Pierre Engvall and a couple other players who I think have futures with the Leafs. And I don't think the Leafs are going to move a Bracco unless they get an opportunity to trade for a Pietrangelo or a top four defense.
I don't want to get conspiratorial and I sound like I'm going on and on, but we have to be consistent in the way we feel about this team and what its plans are. A lot of the sentiment hoping that Bracco increases his trade value comes from Nylander's fans who are very defensive because they understand that Jeremy Bracco is the kind of guy who could take Nylander's place, say Nylander were traded. People are in love with the image of William Nylander. They just don't want to face the reality. And this is about a team winning a Stanley Cup. It's not about pedestalizing any player. A guy like Jeremy Bracco is knocking at the door. And if you move out William Nylander to get back, what you really need is that's defensive help. Jeremy Bracco is one of the obvious guys within the organization to step into his place. Last word to you.
Yeah, I also think that this team has sort of made it clear that Kasperi Kapanen is going nowhere. I know that that sort of flies in the face of some of the rumors out there, but I mean, it's come out from Elliot Friedman and even a couple other sources that they simply don't want to trade Kapanen. And you have to look at the future going forward. Kapanen's had one good year. It's not going to cost you $5 million to sign him to an extension. He's probably going to get signed to a bridge deal, and that's going to be probably in the $2 to $3 million range, and that'll be affordable for this team. And he could score probably as much as Nylander does if given top six ice time. So there's going to be a lot of things that are going to get decided before February 25th and then next summer. There could be a lot of changes.
Michael? That's it for us for now. I hope you enjoy the NHL All-Star Festivities Hula Hoop competition.
Yeah, I'll be well rested. Thank you, Norman.
Talk to you soon.
That concludes the latest episode of the Leafs Convo podcast. If you would like to talk to me on Twitter, you can. At Norman James TLC. You can reach out to Mike at Mike in Buffalo. If you'd like to correspond with us through the YouTube channel, feel free to do that as well through the community platform or get at us on the YouTube comments section. For Mike Augello, I'm Norman James. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again real soon.